Hi everyone, it's Steven Schleicher. Before we get into today's show, I want to apologize, first of all, for the show not being available last week. Here's the situation. The show was all edited, the show was scheduled to go up, and it was in the system to automatically upload. We went off to Nerdtacular 2013, and the system didn't update like it was supposed to. So I apologize for that. We try to get out as many shows each year as we can. I think we average about 50 shows a year, sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less, but 50 shows of entertainment for you of your favorite Dungeons & Dragons Real Play podcast. Speaking of Nerdtacular 2013, it was a real pleasure to get out there and meet each and every one of you who came to the show, who said you like our podcast, who said that you got into Dungeons & Dragons because of this show. It really makes us feel really good about what we're doing for you each and every time. I also want to point out that today's show is brought to you by Audible. Please visit audiblepodcast.com/criticalhit for your free audiobook download. Audible is the internet's leading provider of spoken audio entertainment, providing digital versions of tens of thousands of audiobooks that you can download to your computer, your smartphone, your MP3 player, whatever it may be. The great thing about Audible is you can listen whenever and wherever you want, just like the podcast you're listening to right now, Critical Hit. Hundreds of thousands of titles to choose from, including many, 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 many Dungeons & Dragons titles. I know some of you have gone and taken advantage of this free offer, and you can get a free audiobook, maybe one of those Dungeons & Dragons books or one of the others, right now when you sign up today at audiblepodcast.com/criticalhit, and we thank them for their support. Other things going on, we've got more podcasts over the Major Spoilers Podcast Network. Do check them out. If you want to subscribe to all of them very easily, all you need to do is head over to iTunes or your RSS feed over at majorspoilers.com. Do the search for, if you're over at iTunes, do the search for the Major Spoilers Podcast Network feed, Major Spoilers Podcast Network feed, and you will find that. Some of those shows that we have in the master feed are only available in the master feed. They don't have their own individual one. And we'll be adding more. Some of you that I met over at the Nerdtacular 2013, there may be some of your podcasts appearing in this feed very soon. I think that's enough for me. I know you're interested to see what happens, and especially you want to find out who those two people were with goggles that appeared at the last episode. I think you're going to enjoy this one. If you do, head over to majorspoilers.com, use the comment section, share your thoughts, your ideas, your reactions to this episode, because we love hearing from you. Welcome to Critical Hit, a Major Spoilers Dungeons & Dragons podcast, a free real play podcast where a bunch of people sit around the table and online and we play the game from Wizards of the Coast. Such an exciting adventure, especially where we left it off last time. You know, those two people with the things and they were waving?
Mm-hmm. The face and the...
I don't know. Maybe we should find out what they want.
Sure. Nah.
All right, so last time on Critical Hit, we saw our protagonist take down a scary Lunar Dargon with the aid of some mysterious people that were shooting kind of these blades tied together with rope or like cables at the dragon. After the fight was done, they rushed over. Once again, they are pretty skinny, are wearing goggles, and have these like basically cloth covering their faces as though they expected to maybe get blasted with dragon acid at some point. When they rush over, they run over to the group, and one of them points at Trail and says, "Hey, hands off, lady, that's our dragon."
Oh, okay. Property rules.
Your dragon? Yeah. What is wrong with your hair?
I don't know yet.
Oh, these guys are weird.
Who are you?
What's it to you, Grandpa?
Grandpa?
How old are you?
What's it to you, Grandma?
I think we're done here.
Are we?
Uh-huh.
They got goggles, like Randus's goggles.
Yeah.
Wait, who?
Randus. She points at Randus.
Hi.
They, like, flip their goggles up and pull down their masks. And you recognize them as, well, and they both go at the same time. They go, Randus!
Hey.
And you recognize them as Max and Felix Edelhoff. Your cousins on your mother's side.
Hey, guys!
What? Tiny Randuses!
What are you doing here?
Trying to track down a dragon. And what is wrong with your arm?
Oh, he kind of tucks it behind him. Nothing. It's just an arm.
What are you doing here?
Just an arm.
Who are these guys?
They're my companions. I'm trying to find my parents. Have you heard from them at all?
Yeah, they're back at camp.
Are they?
Yeah.
Are they okay? Let's go to camp.
All right. Hang on, we need to bring the thing over because we got to carry this dragon.
Okay.
And they run back over to their thing.
She tugs on Torque's arm.
They roll it back over.
What?
Baby humans are so cute.
Yeah, these guys look to be about maybe 16 years old at most.
They think they're big.
Yeah, they just about got an axe butt in the face.
No, Torque, they're too small.
I don't like the youngins because they's like bull moose and they run into everything and they're like, ooh, look at me. Boing, boing, boing. Ooh, I'm going to let your horns on fire.
Cops versus teens.
Bunch of, like, whatchamacallit.
It's like a pebbly plains and it's got some, like, big...
Like caravan remains and
yeah.
I'm gonna look around for a hat. See if I can find something that'll work to cover the head, just so people don't ask questions.
Sure, you can actually find one of two things. You can find something that you can whip into a pretty serviceable turban that will actually look okay, or you can find a wide brimmed hat.
Desert type area, not really desert, but sunny area.
Yeah,
wide brimmed hat.
Okay. You have a wide brimmed hat.
Okay.
I can hear the art happening.
All right, they bring over what is essentially this big rail gun on a cart, and then they kind of unhinge some stuff and lower the thing itself, and they're like, all right, we got to get this dragon on there.
And they just help.
Okay. I'm pretty sure most of it is spiky and dangerous, so you might want to stay away from the spiky parts.
I know my way around a body.
Oh, okay. They like stop and they both slowly look over at Randus.
Hi.
They just kind of get back to work. All right. Between all of you guys or whoever decides to help, you guys get the dragon loaded up.
Well, I'm going to sit back and spend some healing surges.
Okay.
Physical labor, right.
Not this kit.
Anything in the wreckage? Anything of worth or interest of anything?
No.
Just scattered. Like, most of the good stuff's already been taken. One would assume that it was been taken back with them, the salvageable goods.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's nothing. There's literally nothing here. Most of the crates are empty.
Okay.
In fact, that hat was probably left there by accident.
Okay.
Hmm. after they load up the dragon, one of them goes back into the wreckage, looks around for a while, and eventually pulls out that thing with that, you know, that metal thing that's kind of vibrating, making a sound like someone struggling. And he kind of like rubs it a little bit to see if it's working or whatever. And he's like, well, this got pretty dented, but should be okay. Puts it in his backpack.
So where'd you get that?
Oh. He like pulls it out. Well, I think Uncle Merrill fixed it up. I think it's based on one of the things that you made. And he hands it to you.
Hmm.
And it looks like... Yeah, it does look like a music box that you made a long time. I mean, it's same principle.
Hmm. Oh, well, cool, cool.
Rand is making music boxes.
They get to either side of the thing and they start pushing it and go, it's moving very slowly.
Trell helps push.
Okay. That makes it go a little faster.
Tark, will you help too?
Suppose.
Okay. That makes it go a lot faster.
That's why I'm here.
And you guys walk for a while past the fake rock where this thing was set up, up to a somewhat hilly area. And then as you come over one of the hills, you see down that way, things start to get a little grassier. And you see a camp. There's about maybe 7 tents, a pen with a few dogs, another pen with some oxen, and some smoke coming out of the main tent, which is built, you know, with like the center out, and it actually has a smokestack poking out of it. Looks to be a, you know, more or less a semi-permanent kind of arrangement.
So is that where my folks are at?
Yep.
Okay, I'm gonna go say hi.
All right.
Okay.
So Randos goes off, and they just kind of like look at Orym, look at Ket, look at Trell, look at Torque, look at Orym.
Trell stares at them so hard.
Look at Ket, look at Trell,
very intensely. Look
at Torque.
What are your names again?
I'm Max, and that's Felix.
Max and Felix.
What's your name?
I'm Trell. This is Torque, Orym, and Ket.
Yeah. One of them leans over to Trell.
Yeah.
Points at Orym.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with his eyes?
No, they're supposed to look like that. That's how he was born.
Oh.
Just like you have.
That's sad.
Wait, no. No, he's very handsome for one of his people.
Wow.
Oh. Yeah. They really like that, where he's from.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they just kind of look at each other like, she just said something weird. I don't know. All right. Randa's runs downhill. Past a dog kennel. Sees a couple dogs whose lineage he probably recognizes. And into the main tent. And inside the main tent are two people. One of them he recognizes as his mother and the other as his father. His mother is getting something out of a big kind of pipe stove thing at the center, and his dad is just kind of whittling something on a kind of picnic table style table off over there. And they both just kind of stop what they're doing, and the woman goes, Randis!
Hi, Mom.
And she comes over and hugs him. Oh. And then his dad walks over. Hey, Randis.
Hi.
You all right?
I'm just so glad you guys are all right.
Yeah, we're okay. You see Max and Felix outside?
Yeah, yeah, we ran into him.
Oh, good. And he just, like, walks right out.
Oh, hey, what have you guys been doing, Mom?
Oh, you know, hunting monsters. I'll tell you all about it later.
Okay.
You guys, as you're coming down, you see this large man, just, you know, tall and broad-shouldered and kind of barrel-chested, big mustache, kind of salt and pepper hair, little bit, you know, high forehead thing going, comes out and says, "Well, I didn't actually expect you guys to kill the dragon. I thought we were just going to track it down." And the two kids just, like, completely abandon the cart and let you guys finish pushing it. and they run over to him, and they're like, "Uncle Meryl, Uncle Meryl!" That one is all like, and then the other ones are like, and, like, Randus, there's something wrong with Randus's arm. And he just kind of, like, pats them on the head, but, like, really, like, heavily.
Yes.
Like, thump, 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 thump. Like, "All right, boys, why don't you go wash up? It's almost dinner time." And he walks over to you guys as you roll the thing into camp. "So, you Randus's friends?"
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
"Well, it's very nice to meet you. My name is Meryl. I'm Randus's father."
"Howdy. My name is Halston Torkelson, and everyone calls me Tork."
"Oh, well, it's nice to meet you, Tork."
Cat Hazard. Have a hand.
Yep, shakes it.
"Most people call him Cat."
"Okay."
"I'm Trell."
"Oh, hello."
And she kind of nods her head at him. "Nice to meet you."
"Yeah, it's nice to meet you."
"Everybody calls her Trell."
"I'm Orym. It's good to see that you're not dead."
"Oh, yes. I'm quite glad that we're not dead as well."
"We've been trying to get a hold of you for some time."
"I know, and wouldn't you know it? My sweet boy has just such impeccable timing. It seems like every time you guys try to contact us, we were in the middle of something where we couldn't talk."
"That sounds like Randus."
"I see."
"That kind of does."
"Well, he was really worried about you."
"Oh, I know. He kind of walks you guys back towards the main tent."
"So are you guys safe right now? I mean, are you intending to be here?"
"Yes."
"I thought you guys were like a caravan."
"Well, we were," he says as he's walking in, and, you know, you guys see Randus and his mom when you walk in. Randus's mom has auburn hair, kind of curly, kind of has like a white streak right on the front. She looks to be a pretty vivacious lady for her age. She's talking to Randus about something entirely inconsequential, like the fabric of the tent or something like that, as you guys walk in. He says, "Yes, yes, well, see, we are in fact merchants and have been for a long time, but it seemed that anytime we would try to go someplace, the roads were closed, or there was news that they had been overrun by monsters, so we couldn't do anything. For a while, we were paying people to either hunt the monsters down or escort us. So we were, like, tripling our guard for the caravan, and that just seemed to be too expensive. So then we thought, well, clearly not enough people are doing this. So we might as well hunt the monsters ourselves, make a little bit of money on the side, and then maybe we can be merchants again."
"Oh, that's smart."
"So you're monster hunters?"
"Yes, we are now."
"Okay.
There's good money in that, you know.
Apparently. We had been on the trail of that dragon for a while. Finally, the twins here figured out a good way to track it using that ballista. But we were expecting to have to chase it down for a while.
No, we just killed it.
Apparently. You guys must be formidable in combat.
We're good fighting, too.
Seen a few things.
Just as formidable as Randus.
I'm sure.
She means it as a compliment, unlike others.
Randus's mom is standing very straight, smiling, looks at Randus, looks at Randus's friends. Looks at Randus.
Yes, these are my adventuring companions. That's Tork there, the big guy. This is Orym. That's Ket and Trell. She's new, but we've been with her for a while now.
She walks over and says, "Oh, nice to meet you all. My name's Sola."
Nice to meet you.
She kind of shakes everybody's hands, and after she shakes Orym's hand, she says, "I love your hair."
Thank you. It's hard to keep it in this fine a condition in this dry air.
Oh, don't I know it?
So, I'm curious, how big is your party?
Well, right now it's only the four of us.
You had more?
We are going to meet up with some others in Kyug.
And you, no one's died.
Well, we did lose a couple people last hunting trip, but honestly, it's because they weren't careful.
Mm-hmm.
We always try to take the most precautions as possible. We, yes. That's how you hunt some of these guys, and just run in with cymbals. Like a kettle drum. But you know how some people are, just rush headlong into danger. Especially around here, there's a few groups that are very concerned with the whole honor and blood and battle thing. So they get a little high strung.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
Probably those clans that we met.
We were about to have dinner. I can put a few more things in since there's a lot more people now. Why don't you all go wash up and then we'll meet back here?
Do you need help in the kitchen?
Oh, of course. I could use some help.
Yes! She looks way too excited.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll wash up and come back.
Okay.
So where's the wash bucket?
It's out there.
All right. Come on, Randus. Let's go wash up.
Okay.
Ket, and you two, Tork.
I'm pretty certain all five of us are washing up. Just one of us coming back.
The twins are already out there. They're all done washing up.
Oh, Randus, your family's so cute.
Thanks.
She gives his shoulder a squeeze. In a "yay, your parents aren't super dead" manner.
Kind of nods a bit.
Randus.
Yes.
Do you get along with your family?
Yeah, get along good.
I only ask because your father said that he received all the messages that we sent, but they were too busy to respond because every time we sent, they were busy fighting a monster.
They have been hunting monsters.
But Looks like everybody's pretty casual right now. Seems like a good time to send a message back.
If they're not magic users, can they do that?
No. Yeah, they're not magically adept like us. They wouldn't be able to send anything back if they wouldn't have the proper scrolls or anything.
They could talk back if we send them one.
Yes, yeah. Basically, if we send them one and they can reply, they have the opportunity to reply then. Apparently, that was not the case before.
There we go.
I'm sure there's like some kind of time part of it where, you know, you can't reply like a million years later.
No, the channel really only stays open for a brief time.
Interesting.
She, like, puts her hand on Orym's shoulder and, like, gives him it's kind of like a shake, like a relaxed sort of
nudge.
Motion. Yeah.
Slap.
Yeah, yeah. Punch in the throat. Is that not what you do here? No, she gives him, like, a sort of, like, loosen up type of shaking on his shoulder. Don't be so paranoid, Orym.
I'm not paranoid. I'm just, you know, Randus is obviously in distress, and, you know, I would think that they would be wanting to help calm their son down and let them know that they're alive.
They're just, you know, most humans aren't, you know, magically inclined the way that Eladrin are.
It could be. I use magic. I can't do the whole sending thing. Your family isn't a bunch of magic users, are they?
No.
Yeah, so them, they'd have to go to a town where they can find someone who can get them a sending ritual before they'd be even able to use it. And there's a reasonable chance that some of those times where we sent them a sending, they were out hunting things like the moon dragon we just killed, that if they made noise, they wouldn't be so alive anymore.
Mm.
How mundane.
Everybody comes from somewhere.
I guess.
Don't be all judgy, Von Holier, than you over there, man. We found them and he's okay, and that's good.
I'm sorry the natural world bores you, Orym. And she kind of pokes him in the ribs with a finger.
Apology accepted.
Good.
And now we have a title.
All right, I'm going to head back.
Okay.
And she squeezes Randus's hand and then goes back to Randus' mommy.
Okay. She is in there and she is prepping some birds to throw in the oven.
Hi.
Parakeets.
Parakeets.
No.
Those are too little.
They're some sort of fowl.
Parakeets. What?
Yes.
You're welcome.
Oh, beautiful.
That should be the next episode title.
Hey, that should have been the last
episode. Yeah, last episode. Yeah.
Anyway, Trell's off with Momdus.
Hey, Ms. Duthane.
Momdus.
Momdus, that's so cute.
Granddad.
Poptus.
I'm saying stuff.
Oh, hi, sweetheart.
What are you making?
Grouse.
Grouse, okay.
So, if you want to just take these and finish stuffing them, I gotta get the other ones out of the oven. And I'll just feed that to the boys. They can eat all four of them anyway. And then once they've eaten, the rest of us can sit down and chat and eat.
Okay. And she does a very good job of anything, like extremely clean job of stuffing these things mm-hmm. in a very neat manner.
She pulls the other ones out and yells out, "Boys!" And twins run in. Randa's probably too.
Abbott.
Yep.
All right. You guys can eat those. But they just like run right at them. They're like, they're hot. And they just kind of like pick them up and start like juggling them and like trying to take little bites out of them. And they're like, "And I don't want to see those near the dogs. The dogs are not supposed to have those bones, okay?" And they're like, "Okay." And they just kind of like take them with them and go sit over there.
Oh.
What kind of tent is this?
This is a, it's kind of a large, probably about, I'd say a good 30 yards across.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit more, good, like reinforced, like something that would take you several hours to put up.
Sure.
It has a big hole in the top for the stove to fit.
So is this a, square tent with a pyramid top?
It's kind of a
dome or a...
Well, it's like the stuff around it is cylindrical, mm-hmm. and then there's like a secondary tarp that goes over the top.
Ah, okay.
So it probably has like, I want to say like 10 points where it's anchored.
I gotcha. It's not quite a wigwam, but it's...
Right.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. It's like a dodecagon.
Yeah.
With a little roof over it.
Was Randus like that when he was little?
Like those two? No. He was quiet and always very helpful. These two I kind of have to chase around with a broom before they'll do anything.
She kind of puts her fingers on her mouth like mm-hmm. she thinks that's super cute.
So, where did you two meet?
In the Feywild, actually.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Randus was there with the others, and I was...
Here, you want to throw this glaze on there?
Sure, yeah. And, you know, I was, hired to look after them and guide them through the Feywild, and that's where we met.
Oh, well, that's nice.
He's very formidable. He's a very good fighter.
That's a little surprising. He was always very shy, but I suppose the adventuring blood is in his veins, if he's anything like his father.
I was really shy when I was little, too, but it doesn't mean much. It's mostly, I think, different people drives... different things drive different people to explore. And, you know, I think Randus is curious. And I think that overrides any kind of shyness and stuff.
That makes sense.
But his dad was an adventurer, too?
Well, he's always been. That's kind of why I fell in love with him.
Oh, I see.
You know, on the one hand, there is staying at home and filing papers with the local duchy, or climb on a caravan and see the world.
Hmm. So what did you guys trade in?
Oh, everything. Spices, weapons, anything that we could get our hands on. Horses for a while. That was kind of a nightmare.
Adrian is amused, not Trell. Oh, I see. I think it's interesting that you both kind of turn to this sort of lifestyle at the same time. About the same time.
Both
Your family and Randis.
I suppose it's been a long time since we've seen Randis. He just one day the Wanderlust, I think, just got to him. There were things that he wanted to go see and do and things he wanted to learn, and he just took off.
As I understand it, I think he's I can't follow hardly any of what he does or says when things get technical.
Oh, don't feel bad. We never could.
Oh, okay. But he's done really impressive things. I don't know how he's going to explain them to you, but I think you'll be really proud.
Oh, I'm sure I will. It's nice to see that he's okay, and it's nice to see that he has good friends, and it's nice to see that he's met a nice girl.
And Treld nods her head and does not get it. Yeah.
All right. Well, we've got some soup ready to go here if you want to call the boys in.
Sure. Hey, guys. And she calls them. Food.
Some of us say food.
Yes. Come and put it in your mouth.
Good. I'm a bit peckish.
That joke sticks in my craw.
Or in your craw. I like it when Rodrigo winces. When it's that bad.
I think he does it more often than not. We just don't always see it.
This is mostly your fault.
She is truly one of us.
Yes. So you guys go into the tent, and there are some bowls with some piping hot soup waiting for you.
That's good.
There's a big rectangular table. Looks like Meryl is sitting at the head of it. And but other than that, no places have been staked out.
I'm gonna sit somewhere.
Yeah, I go sit basically right there next to my father.
And I will sit next to Randis.
Trell sits across from Randis.
Okay.
And I'm Hayden Christensen. Oh no, wait. I'll sit over here.
Okay. Everybody sits down. So, yes. Randis, I'm very sorry that we couldn't get back to you, but as you probably know, lunar dragons have very good hearing. That's mostly how they hunt. They hang out underground and they wait for something to make noise and then they eat it.
I see. That makes sense. Yeah.
So I'm sorry if we worried you. We wanted to be safe when we thought it was around.
I see. Well, I'm glad you guys are all right.
Yeah, we're fine.
So hunting monsters. That it's going good then.
Yes, I mean there's a lot of. There's a lot of money in it. Almost all of the local hamlets are very keen on getting rid of these things that are clogging up the roads. So we figured out a few ways to lure them out and then mostly take them out from a safe distance. Of course, a lot of these towns are also full of brash young volunteers who want to rush at them with a pike. So we tried to armor them and give them the best pikes possible. And they know how to do it. A lot of these kids, they're fighting since the moment they're born. As soon as they can walk and hold a weapon, they're off hitting things. Which is good. I mean, obviously, if that's what gets you out of bed in the morning, then that's fine.
I suppose. And you guys are staying safe?
So far.
Okay.
Well, obviously, this is brand new territory. These monsters are not very well cataloged. It's not like the pages and pages of literature that you can find on owlbears. So, we're kind of figuring it out as we go.
I see.
But, generally, yes, we obviously, safety first. I don't want to endanger your cousins.
Definitely. What do you do once you actually get one of the monsters?
We usually turn the carcasses in. Kyug is a huge center for hunting these monsters. The city was very nearly destroyed during that whole moon thing. So it's been rebuilt, and the populace has developed a keen interest on killing all of these things. So it's become kind of a hub for monster hunters. Great place to find caravan guards. Great place to trade in the odd piece of viscera. Great place to learn what they do. Some of these creatures have very strange properties.
Yeah, we kind of seen that quite a bit.
But Brandis is pretty much an expert on them.
Is he? Well, we can definitely. We're going to need somebody to take a look at that dragon. I've got some notes, of course, from what we've learned so far. Nobody so far has caught or killed a lunar dragon. So we expect to get. We essentially expect this trip to be completely paid for and then some just by the hide.
I see. Nice. I'll definitely look at that for you and see what information I can glean.
Well, thanks. You just give me your fee and I'll pay it. But enough about us. What have you guys been up to? Traveling around, seeing the world?
Saving the world.
Oh. Well, tell me about it.
Let's see. These three. Gesturing to the original members of the group.
Uh-huh.
Went to the moon, killed a moon god. Then they got taken over to Shalai in the Astral Sea, you know, the holy city of Arathis. That's where I met them.
Mm.
We traveled around there for a while and then killed and stopped the rest of the moon gods.
Bought a bunch of people.
Lots of people.
There was an octopus at one point.
There was?
Yeah.
That
may be in the deleted scenes. But it was a lot of fighty-fighty.
Lots of fighty-fighty.
I seen it is pretty cool, actually. I seen, what's his name? Bahamut. Come down out the sky and punch a thing that looked like a church with a face.
Wow.
Just pow, right in the face. It was awesome.
That is very impressive, Randis.
We've been around.
Then, after that, we went to the Feywild to help out there, which...
Nearly got hit by a rose bush.
Nearly got hit by a rose bush.
Mm. We got hit with a river.
Did get hit with a river.
Wow.
They was spiky little spiky pigs.
I hope you guys are writing all this stuff down.
I got it by a crocodile gator.
You charged into the crocodile's mouth, but...
Six of one, five of another. And then he throwed up, but it was okay.
Half of one, six dozen of the other.
Yeah.
Orm has recordings of... a bunch of it.
Yeah. What? And then is eating the soup and looks around. What?
And then there's a short guy who's now
your plant things.
Reach into the sack, pull out five little spheres, little pods, set them down. And you get a chance to listen to these.
Oh.
It'll explain everything.
Yeah, it sounds very entertaining. And he takes them and puts them in his pocket.
We're actually still kind of on the whole Feywild mission thing.
Really? What are you doing out here?
We come looking for y'all.
Oh, well, you guys didn't have to take any time out of your quest to come find us. It sounds important.
We thought it was it.
But Randus needed to make sure that you were okay, and Randus is important to our team, and so...
Oh, well, that's so sweet of you guys. And at that time, Randus's mom finally sits down and says, yes, they are very sweet. They're a very nice group of people. Randus, I'm so glad you found some good friends and a nice girl.
What?
Well, since you guys came and found us, of course, you are welcome to stay here as long as you like. We have plenty of food. Once that dragon is carved up, you guys will definitely get the lion's share of whatever we find there, whatever you need. And we also probably have some extra equipment that you guys can use.
All the help is much appreciated.
Of course.
But in general, we'll be going fairly quickly, I think.
I understand.
Do you maybe has a bow and arrow we just could buy from you?
Probably.
Because Trella likes a bow and an arrow, but she lost hers because there was a thing in a spud.
Yeah, I think we have a few short bows.
Mm. I don't know. I think I'm doing pretty well with your hammer. Or are you saying you want your hammer back?
I thought you liked a bow and an arrow.
I do like my bow and arrow, but, you know, I'm waiting to see what awesome thing Randus makes.
I only use that hammer like once in a blue moon, so.
Oh, I see.
You could utilize one of them short bows then, Torque. You know how to use a bow, right?
I know how to use a lot of stuff, but I don't know. I never tried a bow and an arrow.
I'm sure Trell could teach you.
Yeah, I'll show you.
Well, the boys set up some targets out back.
Mm. Oh, okay.
You're all served some fowl.
Orm is not hesitant.
Look. No. Yep, it's pretty good. It does beat trail rations by far.
And elven granola.
Yes.
Everything beats elven granola.
Nothing beats elven granola.
Except this lovely meal by Mrs. Duthane.
Oh, stop. I'm just glad you made your way back to us.
I'm real glad to see you guys again.
All right. Well, if you are all done, I'm sure we can go check on those targets for you. We also probably should look at that dragon before things start to rot, or she looks over at Meryl, come back to life. And he just shrugs. Why not?
Yeah, definitely. Let's go check that out.
Yes, let's look at that thing.
Okay. You guys go look at the thing.
Is the thing.
Randus is... Who all goes to look at the dragon?
I guess we all do.
We okay. Gonna go.
The dragon on the train tracks.
The dragon on the train tracks.
Never mind. Move on.
Face Meryl shows up. I'm gonna be highly pissed.
Are you saying something?
Do we all need to go look at the dragon?
We're gonna see the dragon, Kit.
Oh.
All right. You all go see the dragon. Well, there's a dragon over there.
This is a dragon.
Meryl brings some tools, some big knives, some forceps type things, a lot of rags, some masks, some goggles. You put some on, it's like, all right, who's getting in here?
Trell's raising her hand.
All right. Randus?
Yes.
Here. Right. There you go. Okay. Here, use these. Don't get your actual goggles dirty.
Okay. Okay.
His real goggles.
Yes.
These are protective goggles for his goggles.
All right. Well,
over there is goggles. Where I started trying to field dress it, but there was a sack that exploded when I opened it over there. So be careful. I think it's like a venom sack, maybe?
Yeah, we find that these things tend to be highly toxic in general. They have a lot of little fluid-filled ganglia and things like that.
Orm mm-hmm. takes several steps back.
Ket steps behind Orm.
What a chicken. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. I'm sorry.
Hey. I apologize. That was good.
Was it?
Yeah, two can play at this game.
Birds of a feather.
Exactly.
Okay. So yeah, basically I kind of start looking at that, seeing if there'd be like another sack, like, yeah, symmetrically
right.
to that one, and see if we can try to extract that to get a better look. And
sure. You find it.
Ah, okay. Let's go carefully. We'll try to cut this out here. See if we can get that intact. That could definitely be some interesting chemical properties there.
Yeah. Hands you a tray.
All right. Okay. Let's just careful. Hold on. Assistant, you want to help here? Can you get your claws behind that bit there? Thank you.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. I kind of found/put it back together quite some time ago. He's really quite helpful.
No, it looks helpful. Maybe you should make us one.
Maybe. I'm kind of trying.
All right. Not to put you on the spot.
I just really haven't been able to duplicate it.
That's fine. Just hold that thing while I saw it off.
Okay.
All right. So the other three of you just kind of hang out and watch them pull the dragon apart?
I guess.
Unless Torque wanted to go do target practice.
Well, that would require Trell teaching him.
Well, that's true, too.
Well, they did say that the boys set up the target, so maybe they know how to shoot a bow. But then he'd have to interact with them.
Hey, Torque.
Hey, what?
Why don't we go find those targets?
Okay. Why don't we? Is it like a riddle?
No, we're gonna go find those targets, get you some bow practice.
Oh, really?
When you guys get around to the other side of the tent, the twins are carrying a box that appears to be full of all kinds of weapons. There is, in fact, a couple of short bows in there, and additionally, there's a thing of strings, some arrows, as well as a few javelins, and some daggers. Most of the things that are supposed to be sharp, except for the arrows, in this box look like they could use a good sharpening. They're kind of clearly just for practice.
Little Torque?
Okay. Max. I think it. What?
Max, Felix.
Hey, what's up?
You guys know how to use these things, right?
Yeah, we're really good at it.
Good. That means you'll be good teachers, right?
Of course.
Here's your pupil.
Cool. What do you want to learn, big guy?
I'm a shoot this stuff, I guess.
All right. Here's what you need to know. Here's how you string a bow.
Okay.
And they grab a bow, And they, like, flex it, and they start stringing it, and shoot the string up into the air. And they're both like, ah! Awesome.
I don't know if I can do that every time.
No, you're not supposed to do that. It's just fun. And then they actually string the bow properly. I'm like, all right, here's what you need to know. One of them grabs the other bow. All right, you're supposed to hold it like this. And hold it. And when you pull, you're supposed to go all the way to your cheek. And you're supposed to keep your hand straight. And you're supposed to hold your breath. And then when you release it, you're supposed to, like, visualize where the arrow is supposed to go, which is usually the target, but sometimes a monster, depending on what you're doing. Here, let me show you. He takes an arrow and, you know, pulls it and fires it. And, I mean, it hits the target. It's nowhere near the center. Mm-hmm. And the other one laughs. And he's like, whatever, I wasn't trying. All right, you try it.
Okay. So I take this thing here, and I pull that thing here, and I go like straight back, and I shoot.
Yep.
All right. For my shoot.
Roll a d20.
Okay.
And there should be something on your sheet that says ranged basic attack.
Mm-hmm.
It's
right next to my melee basic.
Yep. Add that, and then add an additional 2, because I believe you are proficient with bows.
26.
How much?
26.
26? Yeah. You hit it square in the center. Just.
How's that?
Oh, that was good. And that's the guy who didn't shoot it earlier, and the other guy's like, beginner's luck!
I'm going to try again.
Yeah, you have to be farther away, too.
Okay. I'm back up. How's this?
That's good.
Back up about 5 feet past that. Okay, I'm going to shoot.
Okay.
All right. Ooh, that's even better.
Yeah. I mean, you can...
29! Woo! Yeah.
All right. You split the first arrow.
That's probably expensive, though. I should do that every time.
Yeah, we need those.
I'm gonna probably get you some.
Like, the other one's laughing. He's like, you just got shown off by a guy who's never seen a bow before. He's like, he's seen bows. Bows are around. The other one's an elf. She probably does a bow, and he's like, no, she's got like a hammer, which is weird. I think she thinks she's a dwarf.
Stereotyping.
Yes. Well, they're kids. Once they go to college and they interact with elves and dwarves, then they'll know that they've got some misconceptions. So, Torque learns to shoot a bow. Do-do-do-do! You can also write a bow down in your inventory, and I'll make a note to add it to your sheet.
Inventory, okay. Do I have some arrows?
Yeah.
I got a bow now.
Just watch Torque. Get some target practice.
Sure.
So they had a javelin too, right?
Yep.
You gonna javel?
I'm gonna toss it to Torque and say, try this.
Okay. That's
because
he should be a heck of a lot better.
Oh yeah, that's even easier.
I can javel real good.
Yep.
It doesn't come back yet.
Javelin. Wah!
Whoa!
When I was in fighter school, my friends, they built a special javelin specially hooked up for my limp-wristed throwing style. That's not really true. I just made that up.
That's weird.
Funny, hey, though. You should try a javel.
Okay. One of them takes it.
I'm going to stand behind you.
Such a horror.
Okay. And just kind of goes all the way, you know, like hand up and like one hand up in the air, the hand with the javelin all the way back, and then just like does a weird kind of spin and like chucks it. And it gets good distance, but it goes nowhere near the target.
That's pretty good though.
Yeah. You know, I guess I don't know my own strength. And then the other one just like takes a run at him and like pushes him over. Yeah, and then their own strength. Shut up! You shut up! Ah! And now they're like wrestling around the ground.
I would grab each and by the neck and each hand, kind of pull them apart gently.
Yep. And they're like, "Oh, a new challenger enters!" And then they both try to grapple Torque.
I imagine that goes well.
it kind of weirdly does. Like, it's difficult for you to keep a hold of them. They're really squirmy. So like at one point, one of them does have Torque in a headlock, which doesn't do anything. But yeah, he does actually manage to get out of your grip, climb up your back, and get your head between his scrawny little arms.
I'm actually gonna play along.
All right.
I'm gonna let him put me in the headlock while I pick the other one up.
All
maybe
right.
hit one of them with the other in a very gentle fashion.
Yeah. Like, ah, God, you're the worst teammate. All right, you guys wrestle for a while. Meanwhile, on the other side of the camp, some real progress is being made.
Yeah, I think the spleen is just totally gone. All sorts of axe wounds, and they're just, yeah. Don't
well,
think you're going to get anything out of that.
No, that's all right. We'll just call it a loss.
I want to know what's in its stomach.
Oh.
Well, let's see.
All right. Step back.
All right. You guys open up the stomach, and there are a lot of bones. And, you know, some of them belong to probably horses and cattle and things, but there's definitely some human bones in them, largely marked by the fact that some of them are still wearing armor. There's also a few weapons in there. You guys actually find a pretty serviceable bastard sword.
Ooh.
As well as a couple of spears that have been snapped in half, but both halves of them are in there.
So, does it seem like there's particular things it can't eat? It can't digest?
Maybe if you give it time. It does seem that, I mean, its stomach is like chock full of bone, so this thing probably like eats and eats and eats and eats as long as it can find something to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And then worries about digesting it later.
Okay. Is there anything awesome Trell can tell by all of this stuff?
No, this thing is weird. This thing does not operate like a normal animal. And usually, you know, animals that have some weird magic about them, there's a way for Trell to figure that out. But this thing is just kind of outside of her expertise.
It's probably not edible.
Oh, I wouldn't eat it. Even if the authority here, and he pats Randa's in the back, determined that it was, I'd probably still pass on it. These things are pretty foul.
Yeah, I really wouldn't know, especially, you know, with the cutting the one venom sac that might have tainted some meat.
No,
as
I'm
well.
Pretty sure most of their fluids are poisonous.
Yeah.
Or just inedible.
That's very possible. Hey, do you want the gallbladder here? I think I can.
Sure.
That. All right.
Now, if this is anything like those hook guys, it should have a gland back here. Yep. See, there you go.
Huh. Interesting.
Yep.
It's a boy dragon or a girl dragon.
It is
or nothing.
Yes, it does not appear to have any obvious sexual characteristics. If you were to find another dragon that was different, you might be able to then figure it out. You know, I mean, I guess if you want to get into it, it does have a cloaca, but no other obvious waste disposal or sexual organs that you can recognize as such. But again, there are critters out there that reproduce through a cloaca.
You really have to take notes on this stuff, Randus.
Okay.
I mean, it's a thing that's literally unlike anything I've ever dealt with. And I've opened up a lot of animals. Like, every animal.
I see. I'm pretty certain this is the only one we've ever dealt with, even if it had been a couple times. But
So you've met this thing before?
Yeah, quite some time ago. We were on an airship. And, yeah, we fought it, and it got away.
I'm surprised you survived.
It wasn't nearly as big back then.
I see.
Well, you know what you should do is you should get some of your chemicals or whatever you use and see if you can find any sort of... And he kind of like waves his hands around magical properties
components?
To any of these. See if they'll be useful to you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'll give that a look.
All right, Randus does that for a while.
Yes.
Meanwhile, somehow the fight has gotten into the dog kennel, and now there's like four dogs involved in it, as well as Torque and the twins. Mostly the dogs just run around and bark, and sometimes they'll be able to like grab onto some clothes, but I mean they're not like trying to rip them, they're just kind of playing. Randus's mom comes out to see what all the noise is, sees that Torque is involved, and then just turns right around and walks back.
That's probably the smartest lady we've ever met.
Yep. She's on top of things.
She knows your stuff.
Alright, so Randus,
I think he just took a chair to the back.
Yep.
It was terrible.
Yeah, I mean, once you get close to the dogs, there's a fence there, so they do a lot of climbing up on the fence and jumping on Torque.
Felix tried to take it down with a knee lock.
Yep. Speaking of which, one of them actually, at one point, probably accidentally does lock up the knees of your armor. So Torque actually does fall on his back at some point, which they think is amazing.
I fall exactly where I want.
Yep, you sure do. It's that thing where like they, as you're falling down, one of them's climbing up on the turnbuckle and it's about to jump, and then you fall away from where he thinks he's going to go and he just splats on the ground. And then immediately gets like jumped and licked in the face by a dog. So Randus starts looking at these things, and there is a lot of mystical energy in a lot of these organs.
Nice. Okay. There does seem to be quite a bit here. Okay, we'll see if we can't extract, basically get this distilled down to the magical essence.
All right, what do you need?
Okay, well, I guess I'll need a Bunsen burner, a beaker, get some tubing.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
Ladder.
We can probably rig something up.
Can I use that sword?
The bastard sword? No, it's going to be
too heavy. Is it too heavy?
Yeah.
Okay. It said it's a one-handed weapon, though.
It is.
It's a superior one-handed weapon.
Yeah, but you don't come in with proficiency for that. Okay. As an Eladrin, you get a long sword.
Right.
Actually, most wizards don't know how to use a long sword. Because you're an Eladrin, you get that automatically.
Okay.
So you could take a feat to learn to use a bastard sword, but actually, I think the Wizard of the Spiral Tower stuff only works on long swords.
Okay.
It might be heavy blades in general, but I think it might just be long swords. I don't remember.
It also would be an upgrade from the sword you've got right now anyways.
other than in the
It's not enchanted or anything.
Is that something Trell and Torque could use?
Yeah. No, actually, no. You guys are not. Yeah, because you guys are not proficient.
You guys are only proficient with military weapons.
Weird.
Yep.
What's the... there's superior weapons and military weapons?
Yes. There are...
Simple
weapons, military weapons, and superior weapons. And the big difference between them is the amount... Basically, weapons have three traits. They have their accuracy, their damage, and then some sort of tag. Simple weapons usually don't have any sort of tag at all. And they have okay accuracy and okay damage. Military weapons, which all fighters, rangers, paladins, etc., are proficient with, are either more accurate or do more damage. And then superior weapons, which almost no one walks into the game being proficient with, you usually have to take a feat to use. Are either more accurate or do more damage or both. They're just basically because you're expending one of your character resources on learning to use this weapon, they're better than military weapons. The Kukri and the Great Bow are both superior weapons, which is why Trell needed a feat to learn to use both of those.
Like
a Kukri is exactly like a short sword, except that it's brutal. So you take that totally feat brutal. To be able to basically have a more reliable weapon, of course, not the reliable tag, which is something else entirely.
You could actually use the bastard sword for his class. It's just a weapon.
Yeah, as a weapon, right?
Oh, for his class, yeah.
Yeah, the two powers are both just weapon powers.
Right.
Yeah,
but specifically for as I'm reading this,
gains long sword bonuses.
Right. Yeah. But what about that thing that says that he can cast things through his sword?
Well, it just says, as a wizard of the Spiral Tower, you carry a longsword that glows with the arcane beauty of the Feywild.
And he gains proficiency with the longsword as an implement.
Right.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't be able to cast it.
He wouldn't be able to cast his wizard spells. Yes.
He could use the bastard sword for other things. And he could pick up implement proficiency on the bastard sword, maybe.
Really? Wouldn't probably be any worthwhile.
Wouldn't be worth it, no.
Oh, well. Seemed like a good place to ask that question.
Yeah.
And a good place to end this week's episode. Thank you so much for downloading. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being a part of the Critical Hit experience all over the interwebs, whether that be over at majorspoilers.com, where you can find the archive of all of these episodes, or over at iTunes, where people continue to leave those 5-star reviews. We really appreciate those. Or over on Twitter, you can follow us with the hashtag CriticalHit. You'll find a lot of information there. Or you can follow us via our various Twitter handles. You can follow Adriana at Miss Very Very. You can follow Torque at Mighty King Cobra. Mm-hmm. You can follow Rodrigo at Fearsome Critter. You can follow Rob at Boar Immortal. And you can follow Randus at D&D Brian, RIAN. And you can follow me at Major Spoilers. Until next time, thank you so much for listening and sharing the dream that we have of getting these adventurers all the way up to level 20 and maybe beyond. And until next time, here's hoping all of your dice rolls are critical hits.
Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.